We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We welcome in now Mark Fanaruwada, reporter for ESPN Investigations and Enterprise Unit, unearthing a real gym. Coaches at the NBA China Academies have complained of player abuse and lack of schooling. Mark, thanks so much for the time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
When did you guys start uncovering some of this story?
Well, I started to work, you know, right after the, you know, this tweet by Daryl Morey, the Houston Rockets general manager, created such a firestorm for the NBA. It sort of illustrated the tension that exists for the NBA and doing business in China with it's a $5 billion industry for them there. Yet at the same time, you're dealing with a government that is defined by some as authoritarian and is overseeing one of the worst human rights atrocities in the world. And so we were interested in taking some look at that point at this relationship between the NBA and China. My brother, Steve, and colleague, we decided that it would be interesting to take a deeper dive into what this relationship's like. We weren't sure where we were going to end up, but the more we started to look into it and talk to folks, the more intrigued we got by these NBA training academies that the league had established there in 2016.
Has the NBA commented on this? Has they said anything?
Yeah. We actually, during the story, commenting throughout. I mean, we spoke for about an hour and a half with Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum. We basically revealed to him everything we had found, what some people described as systemic physical abuse by Chinese coaches against local players at these academies, the absence of schooling, even though that had been listed as a sort of primary part of the programming, and then having this facility in Western China in a province that, as I said, is overseeing a massive human rights area or human rights violation area called Xinjiang. And the league, you know, Mark Tatum, the deputy commissioner, said a number of things. One, that they were reevaluating the academies. They said that they thought they were a bit naive in figuring how much control they'd have. One of the complaints we heard from people was effectively the way the league set this up, they were essentially working for the Chinese government. And so the league's position is that we need to reevaluate this. They've left that academy in Xinjiang in Western China, but they didn't do it. One of the things we pressed them on is, did you do it because of the human rights issues there? And Tatum really danced around that question, and his dancing, I think, really speaks to this tension I was talking about earlier, that the league's in sort of a no-win situation. They are obviously one of the foremost sports organization addressing social justice and racial inequality issues in the country. The players obviously have been very outspoken, coaches as well. Yet that seems to be limited to the U.S. And in China, there's a silence from the league about addressing these human rights violations.
In October, the Rockets general manager Daryl Morey tweeted in support of pro-democracy protesters, led the Chinese government to pull the NBA from state television. And have they aired the restarts? Did they say they won't air the restarts?
No, they said they're not going to be airing the restarts. I mean, the sort of impasse continues as far as we can tell. You know, prior to the pandemic, Tencent, which is sort of an internet giant based out of China, and is they're the organization that streamed most of the NBA games. They had started to stream a handful of games again, but the NBA was not on Central China Television, nor And the Rockets were especially sort of persona non grata after Maury's tweet. And that relationship remains very much a point of tension.
How much do you think we need to reevaluate as a country, as a sports fan, reevaluate the NBA's relationship with China? And should the U.S. government get involved in that?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people at ESPN get paid to offer their opinions. And I'm not one of them, thankfully. I mean, what I can tell you is that the reporting reveals, I think, the extent to which this sort of conflict exists that we're talking about. Certainly there are a number of politicians that have weighed in on this issue. Most recently, Senators Hawley and Blackburn, Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, she had written a letter that the league responded to and for the first time acknowledged leaving Xinjiang. But back in October, after the Maury tweet, you had a range of politicians from both sides of the aisle, everybody from Ted Cruz to AOC, calling for the NBA to reevaluate not only its situation in Xinjiang, but also its relationship with China. So I don't think this issue is going away for them. I mean, again, this is a $5 billion entity for them. And if they're going to do business there, they're going to have to deal with the conflict that arises with a country that has dramatically different approach to dealing with dissent than we do here in the U.S.
How are those that have been a part of this describing what was going on in the NBA?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
How are those that are involved in these camps, how are they describing the climate in these camps in China?
Sure. I mean, we had ranges from, as I said, some people describing it as if they were working for the Chinese government, given the constraints of how the camps were set up. They were describing, you know, virtually systemic abuse of players by Chinese coaches, things like throwing balls in their face, kicking them, hitting them, the absence of school. So these kids were training 2 to 3 times a week or 2 to 3 times a day, and then virtually unsupervised the rest of the time. In Xinjiang, you had coaches describing, one coach described it as essentially like World War II Germany, very much like, you know, in that area in Xinjiang, has been likened to accused of being like a cultural genocide of the Uyghur people. So, and you had coaches describing being in that region and being harassed and surveilled, detained. Nobody described this as a terribly positive experience for the NBA. And as they said, they would complain to their bosses about this in China and say, look, we're the NBA. We can't be part of this. And that seemed to largely fall on deaf ears, according to the sources.
I can't get over this quote. I read it several times in your story. Quote, imagine you have a kid who's 13, 14 years old, and you've got a grown coach who is 40 years old hitting your kid, end quote. And the coach went on to say, quote, we're a part of that. The NBA is a part of that. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the coaches there, the guys who worked in these academies, I think were pretty taken aback and stunned by what they were experiencing. And, and I think one of them was so concerned that he complained and asked to be transferred. Another one left, he just up and said, I'm going to end my contract early. And, what he told us is like, I couldn't stand not only that, but also the absence of the sort of education issue. And, this idea that he felt like he was training a bunch of kids who were going to end up being taxi drivers. So, these coaches and personnel who are in these academies described it as, dysfunctional, to say the least. Very problematic around physical abuse, problematic around absence of schooling, and then in Xinjiang, problematic around the level of harassment and then the massive human rights violations that were going on against the Uyghur population.
Visiting with Mark Fanaru Wada, reporter for ESPN Investigation and Enterprise Unit, he unearthed, along with his colleagues at ESPN, a very, very damning column, or report, I should say, investigative report, in the NBA. China Academy's complained of player abuse and lack of schooling. Anything else I didn't ask you that you want to add?
No, I mean, I think the one, you had a quote that you thought was most startling to you, and I agree, that quote was startling when we heard it. I thought the most startling part of the experience for us was when we interviewed the deputy commissioner, as I mentioned, Mark Tatum, and you know, one of the questions we pressed on really hard was this idea of, okay, you say you've left this academy in Xinjiang where all these human rights violations are going on and a million Uyghurs are in detention camps, arguably like concentration camps. And, you know, did you guys leave for human rights violations? And the level in which Tatum avoided answering that question was quite striking. And as somebody said, you know, this is it's sort of ironic for the NBA, which, you know, is obviously being very aggressive in its stance around racial inequality issues and social justice issues in the U.S. You know, they moved the All-Star game out of North Carolina in the wake of the bathroom law. And so this idea that the league would be that aggressive here in the States, but seemingly unwilling to answer a question and address this issue. And Tatum said, you know, it's not our role to comment on every human rights violation. I thought that was a pretty startling response from the league, given that they actually opened an academy in the middle of this atrocity.
Mark Fanaru Wada, reporter for ESPN's Investigations and Enterprise Unit. Thank you so much, Mark.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.